an event recently that occurred in a faraway country. It seems that a greater nation was ruling over a lesser people, and one day men from the great nation came and said, there's a certain revolutionary leader among you. Hand him over or all will be punished. What could the man's strange relatives do? They went and got the man from hiding, gave him over to his enemy, knowing that this would be certain death. But this is where the incredible set part of the story began. It seems that once the man got around with all the enemies surrounding him, he got out of his restraints, he picked up what he found, a bone in the ground, and he killed 1,000 people. And then the man somehow managed to get back to his friends and relatives, told them the story, and they believed it. They believed this incredible story. But you and I know better. But is it because we can distinguish facts from fiction? Is it because of our fantastic system of education that we have in this country that we've been taught how to reason and defend? And apparently the rest of this nation couldn't. We know what reality is and what a fable is. But just a second, this is a story of Samson and how when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he broke the ropes that were upon him as if it were thread, and he picked up the bone from a donkey, the jawbone, and he killed 1,000 people, as the word of the Lord says. Now, what's wrong with you and I that we tend not to believe a story like this? I have a feeling it's because our God is perhaps too small. Today, when illness comes upon us, we look first to the doctor for help. Not that God doesn't need doctors, but they aren't the source of our help either. When cancer afflicts someone, we think of a cure by means of chemotherapy, radiation therapy, surgery, right? We have that part-time job of ours because we happen to have the right credentials, the right qualifications that were needed. What else could they do but never give us the job? We did meet that special someone we're going to spend the rest of our lives with because we happen to be at the right party. It's all fate. It's all coincidence. Things just work out that way, right? But where is God in your life? Is he there at all? Is he up there on some meteor on the planet Jupiter? Or maybe he's just too small? Perhaps before we come down too high in our souls, we should look at the pages of Scripture and see if anything like this ever happened to any of the great men of faith. We open a few pages and we run into the story of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had been created perfect by God and placed in the garden, and they had been told not to eat of a certain tree, but they did. And then Moses took crazy birds. Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord. What was that? They hid themselves? So we're talking about the Almighty God who created the whole world in 6 days, who created every tree in the garden, every leaf on the tree, who made them from the dust of the ground, and they tried to hide. They had lost sense of reality. They forgot how big God was, and now he was too small. We could turn up a few more pages to the story of Abraham. God called him and he was united. He made 3 great promises to him. You know the promises. And Abraham believed it. He takes it all in, and he leaves his father and his friends and his relatives, and he leaves all the money that was in store for him as an inheritance. And he goes to a land that he doesn't know where it is. And as he's going to this land, he runs into horrendous famine. And he has to go down south into Egypt because that's where the grain is. And as he's going down south, he looks over at his beautiful wife there, the former Miss A of the Chaldees, and he says to her, honey, we have a problem here. The Egyptians are going to see you, but you're very beautiful, and they're going to say, this is his wife. And they're going to tell me that they can have you for themselves. And so what does a great man of faith say? He says to Sarah, honey, just tell them that I'm your brother. I mean, after all, we are half brother, half sister. Just tell them that you're my sister, and on account of you, I will live. That's literally what it says in the Hebrew, on account of you, I will live. Abraham had lost sense of reality. He had forgotten how big God was, and now God was too small. And you know, this kind of thing just didn't happen in the Old Testament, and it happened in the New Testament time and time again. Jesus, as we heard this morning, had gathered his disciples around him. They had seen him do many miracles. They had seen the lame walk, blind see, the deaf hear, demons cast out of people, the dead rise up and live. They knew who he was. They heard their confession. And one day, after a particularly strenuous day of preaching, they get into a boat and decide to cross the Sea of Galilee. Now, the disciples knew what the Sea of Galilee was, rather than the fishermen. They knew, for instance, that it was surrounded by hills on all sides, and that you can't see the storm that's coming down upon you until it's coming down upon you. And if you're out in the sea during that time, it's probably the last chapter of your life. Such was the instance on this day. The disciples are going across, and the storm hit. And the wind starts swooping down the sea valleys and starts going across the sea and blowing up waves after huge waves. And you can probably imagine, the text doesn't say, you can probably imagine that they were doing their darndest to get rid of all the water that was in the boat, but to no avail, the ship was going down. So they run back to the sleeping Jesus and they say, Jesus, save us, Lord, we perish. And Jesus, he gets up and gives all the reason. And he says, wind, sea, be still. And they were. And the disciples marveled, and Jesus turns around him and he says, oh, ye of little faith, don't you know? Of course they knew. They saw his miracles, they knew who he was. But somehow they lost sense of reality and they had forgotten how big God was, and now he was too small again. Peter, one of the great apostles, one of the great disciples following Jesus, he always seems to come to mind right away when you think of one of them. And he had a similar circumstance, not too many days hence, I'm sure. It was the Passion Week. Jesus had invited his disciples with him into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Jesus went away to pray 3 times, the disciples went away to sleep 3 times. And now it was time to leave the garden. But off in the distance, they see a glimmering light. And it's not a late night Bible study. Off in the distance, the soldiers are coming to take Jesus away. You know these things that went on. It was the Judas kiss, Jesus admitting who he was, and then just before they took him away, Peter pulls out his sword, hits it out, and cuts off one of the ears of the soldiers. Big Peter is now saving God. Apparently, he had forgotten how big God was. Apparently, he'd lost sense of reality, and our God was too small. And Jesus has to turn around to him and remind him once again, Peter, don't you know? Don't you know I could summon up 12 legions of angels, and I'm sure 24,000 angels could have put a little bit of disarray into these 2 soldiers? You know, God does give us a glimpse of how big he really is in the scriptures. Again, in the opening chapters of Genesis, there was once a people that were going to build a great name for themselves. Huge power, big city walls. The whole world would look on and marvel, they thought. And one day, it just, God happened to stroll across the sea from heaven and said, laugh. Look at those people down there. They're going to build a great name for themselves. How do you say you get on there and confuse their language? And God did. And then Moses, as if he didn't have a sense of humor, puts them, and they stopped building their city. Of course they did. Isaiah once preached a sermon on how big God was. Apparently, again, the children of Israel had forgotten how big he was. And he gives them this sermon. He says, behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket. We don't have too many buckets anymore. Occasional wife may know. But I personally have forgotten what they look like. But a bucket. Let's use the analogy maybe of a gallon of milk. Some people, when they get to the last couple drops in a gallon, they will add a little bit of water, switch it around, and pour it in their cornflakes in the morning, but generally speaking, that's not the case. The few last drops are nothing. You discard it. The nations are like a drop from the bucket. He lifts up the islands like fine dust. The Lebanon is not enough to burn. The juice not enough for a burnt offering. It says in verse 13, Isaiah speaking, to whom then are you like in God, and what likeness do you compare with him? One last look at how big God is. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. So let's look into the heavens just for a minute here. Light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. That's about 6 trillion miles a year. At this rate of speed, it takes 100,000 light years, 100,000 years to get across our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. It takes 2 million light years, 2 million years at 186,000 miles per second to get to the nearest galaxy. And science tells us there are 10 with 11 zeros behind the galaxy. We don't even have a number for that. And now, picture God looking down past these 10 with 11 zeros behind a galaxy, down to find the minuscule Milky Way galaxy, down past the super suns of Vega Cepheid and Betelgeuse, down past our sun, down into the little Earth, down into North America, down into Missouri, down into St. Louis, down into the community where you live, and he counts the number of hairs in your head, and he calls you by name. You say, well, Leo, what's the point of all this? To make us feel like some kind of anthill that some boy has gone out in the backyard to play with and squash? No, just the opposite. God told us in Romans 8, all things work together for good to those that love God. You see, if your God is as big as he says he is, as big as I hope you believe he is, he can handle anything that this world is going to throw at you. He's got things planned out for you. You say, you know someone that's sick in the hospital? Maybe on their deathbed? Maybe he's already died, and you don't understand the situation that's left. God says he knew what was going to happen. He controlled it too. You say that the part-time job you have isn't enough. You don't have enough meals for the kids on your table, and you've already borrowed your $25,000 in student loans to pay for your education. God says that all things work together for good. Now, this is a difficult thing to understand at times. I myself am 31 years old and single, and I go back home to my hometown and visit my high school buddies, and I have a sheepdog that's older than their kids. And you really wonder, if God really has all things working. But you've got to come back to his word. He knows what he's doing. He's big enough to carry it out. You know, of all the bad days that do come upon us, and are still going through in the future, imagine that one worst possible day that ever took place. The day God died. Yes, the Paleontopus, yes, the God-man Jesus, but what were the disciples thinking? They had left him in the Garden of Gethsemane, left him and they scattered. And perhaps they were looking from the upper room as Jesus marched by the next day. And maybe they saw his bloody back that looked like hamburgers from the whipping, and maybe they saw him stumble and fall as he went through the streets with the crossbeam on his back. Oh, yeah, there was one brave disciple, John, followed to the foot of the cross, maybe with a little bit of delusion of grandeur. Maybe he thought Jesus would come down from the cross, and put he and disciples at the Garden of Eden, you know, at the right and the left-hand side of Jesus. But that isn't what John heard. He heard, John, won't you take care of my mother? Does someone have something for me to drink? And then he heard Jesus saying, it is finished. And maybe John was saying, it is finished. What do you mean, Jesus? And maybe John saw that the sun had turned black and didn't shine, and that the earth was shaking underneath him, and the dead bodies were walking through the streets of Jerusalem. And maybe he thought the whole world was going to hell, literally, that God had died and the devil was victorious. But they soon found out totally different from that worst possible day ever. Became the grandest day ever. So that was the day the disciples' sins were taken care of. That was the day our sins were taken care of, and that we stand before God holy. The worst possible day, but God made it again. God had all things in control. Now we always believe that Romans 8 tells us, our God is big enough. Our God knows what's going on. And all things work together for those that love God. Amen. We continue by singing the last two stanzas of the hymn. Stanza 3 will be sung by the choir.